taking on a new career later in life, why many baby boomers want to keep working, and strategies for making it happen your way. A recent Gallup poll taken in the spring of this year shows that most adults in the U.S. plan to work past the traditional retirement age. 63% want to work part-time past the age of 65, 11% full-time. There are a number of reasons for this. Some simply enjoy their job and don't see age as a reason to stop working. Others have financial reasons for continuing to work. Some may not be satisfied with their current employment, and some may want a career change. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, what you need to know as you plan for your second act, especially if you're a baby boomer. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. The baby boomers, adults born between 1946 and 1964, make up almost a third of Maine's population, the highest rate of any state. Many look at their later years as a chance to do something new and are taking what professionals are calling encore careers or second acts. Today on the program, we're going to discuss what it means to start again in the work world at middle age. What are the benefits of a career transition? What do you need to think about? What could it mean for Maine's economy? With me in the studio is Master Career Counselor Barbara Babkirk, founder of the Maine job counseling firm Heart at Work Associates and the job matching service The Boomer Institute. Also joining us, Jane Margeson, Director of Communications and Media Relations for AARP in Maine. Jane, I've known you for years. I'm embarrassed to ask, did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Perfectly. Thank you.
Oh, good. As always, we want to hear from you. Do you feel trapped in your current job? Are you dreaming of a career change? What challenges have you faced if you've been trying to make a switch? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Barbara, I know that this is your passion, and I'm wondering, did you come to this work because you knew so many people that were looking for a career change? Is that why you started doing what you do now?
I think that you're absolutely right. So I've had this career counseling practice, which now involves five people, for quite a few years. And over the past 5 years, I started to see an increase in the number of boomers, so 51 to 71. And certainly the younger to middle boomers wanted to have conversations about what's next. They didn't necessarily want to change the current work they were in, but they were anticipating a change. And those numbers started to increase and increase. And I said, well, this is coinciding with this demographic in Maine, which is, you know, that we're growing older. And we're changing.
Give me some examples. What are some of the, without, you know, giving away names or anything mm-hmm. private, what are some of the kinds of things that people have gone from and to?
Mm-hmm. So I find that in some cases, people are pulling, I call it the thread. They're pulling a thread through from younger years to today. So an example of that might be someone who worked in a manufacturing industry as an engineer. And this person, because of a family member who had special needs, decided when he was laid off that he would explore something totally different. And so the person ended up going to graduate school and working with special needs children. A very, very different career for him, and it pulled through something that he knew a lot about because of his family circumstance.
Jane Margeson, I was read a Pew Research poll this morning that showed 75% of people expect to work past age 65. Is this the same kind of information that you're hearing at AARP?
We're definitely hearing that older workers are staying on the job longer. And there are a number of reasons for this. In some cases, it is because of a concern about finances. The economy has been pretty rough over the course, you know, the last decade. It's been up and down, as we know. So a number of people are concerned about this and are therefore staying in the workforce a little bit longer, which ultimately actually is good for the economy to keep that hustle and bustle with an older workforce. But we're also finding that, you know, as Barbara mentioned, I mean, there are a lot of people who are actually looking for things because they love to work. They want to stay engaged. They want to keep active in that role. And so finding new ways to do their job, or maybe they're thinking about an interest that they had that now that they've raised their family and they can move on to other things, or maybe they've been caregiving and now they're in a situation where they can actually look for something that's exciting for them. That's another reason that they're just going to stay in there a little bit longer, sometimes just a few years, but sometimes much longer than that.
What do we know about the average, and I'm doing air quotes here, what is the average retirement age in America today?
That is actually a very good question, because I think it keeps shifting. I mean, in 2011, that's when the first baby boomers began to turn 65 years old. And it's the beginning of the greatest demographic shift in our country. I believe by 2050, we're going to see that one out of every five Americans is age 65 and older. And there are concerns if Social Security, for example, is your only source of income upon retirement. Well, that might be a very good reason for you to stay in the workforce a little bit longer than you might have anticipated at the outset.
Barbara, what are some of the practical questions you ask someone? Someone comes to you and says, I want a career shift. I've always had my dream of doing X or Y. Are you often in a position where you think to yourself, you know, that's really not practical for this reason, and I need to have somebody ask themselves some serious questions?
That's a great question, because I'm very much an optimist, and I want to help people realize their dreams. And I also ask them questions about their finances, and do they have a plan for realizing this dream? One of the first questions I ask them is, what is this life stage about? And they might be 30, 40, 50, 60, and I'm going to ask them that question. What are your priorities in this life stage, and are there any that are being neglected? And then we take off on, you know, I find that people make career decisions based on one of three factors: interests that engage them, competencies that they get in the zone with, they feel naturally compelled to do, or a value that they hold dear. And we're finding, and MetLife, a mature market study, did a great research study a while ago, and they found that purpose was becoming number one as we age.
If you'd like to join the conversation, maybe you're thinking about changing careers, our phone number, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. You can send an email to talk@mainpublic.org. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to our Facebook page. Jane, we're talking about employees, but what about employers? Are employers as ready to take this second act employee as employees are ready to do it? Are they as willing to take a chance on somebody in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s who has no experience in the field that they've just switched to?
Well, we certainly are hoping so, because the businesses that are really going to thrive are the ones that are welcoming a multi-generational workforce and are really taking steps to include practices and policies that serve an age-diverse workforce. And we, you know, Barbara and I were actually talking right before the show how, you know, the boomers, those 50 to 64 and even older, and then the younger millennials can actually be a wonderful partnership on the job. You know, they can help each other, they can mentor each other, they come with different skills and different experiences and different perspectives, but the employer has to be willing to kind of nurture that type of relationship on the job and make it part of the culture.
Barbara, you gave an example of somebody who'd gone back to school. Is that often part of the solution?
I would say some further education is often part of the plan. It wouldn't necessarily have to be a master's degree. It might be a certification. It might be increased training. But some boomers really, you know, it's been shown that boomers like to learn. We're lifelong learners. And so taking classes, getting certified in something different might in fact be part of the program.
All right. And that certification might be 6 months, might be a year.
Exactly. It doesn't have to be years and years.
Are there certain careers that are more conducive to people switching into them?
I think it depends on the individual and how motivated they are. The fact is, as Jane pointed out, in Maine, you know, we have a talent shortage. There have been statistics every year, bad news about that. And employers, as well as boomers, need to be aware of that. And employers need to be thinking creatively about how they're posting jobs and how they're filling jobs. The same old full-time, high stress is not going to work for boomers. They've done that.
Jane, do you know of companies that have already shifted the way in which they hire to adjust?
Definitely, yes. And, you know, in Maine, I mean, it's sort of interesting. We have the oldest demographic, which sometimes is viewed as a bad thing. And we do recognize, of course, you need to replenish the workforce and attract younger workers. But the older workforce is one of our greatest assets. And there are several companies that have shown a wonderful creative approach to working with this multi-generational workforce. So, for example, there are several that include a flexible work schedule. So if you're somebody who's still raising your kids, or maybe you're a grandparent who's helping to raise your grandkids, or perhaps you're what we call the sandwich generation, you're providing caregiving needs for your aging parents as well as raising children. I mean, there are a multitude of things that can come into that. A flexible work schedule, being able perhaps to work from home one day a week, being able to do projects in collaboration with your colleagues in a way that's a little bit more flexible. All of that can lead to a much happier and healthier workplace, but also I think it can extend kind of the life of the job for that individual. And we're seeing the trend absolutely is that, as we mentioned, that people are staying in their jobs overall longer than they have expected to. So the more that employers can take a look at those opportunities to better serve their employees this way, it's absolutely going to be a great fit for everyone.
Well, I know that you say the more employers can do this and the more that you would advocate employers do this. But Barbara, isn't the trend that fewer and fewer employers are? I've read that employers that were experimenting flexible schedules, working from home, telecommuting options, that's actually on the decrease, not the increase.
It is on the decrease. And I think that employers will need to take yet another look. There's a solution that I love. It's called phased-in retirement that the University of Maine has instituted. I think they've had it for many years. I think it's an awesome option because people can take up to 3 years and they can work 1 to 4 days a week over a three-year span of time to phase out of that work they've been doing. It gives an opportunity to mentor someone else. It also gives an opportunity to say goodbye and to acknowledge a loss of that career. So I find that to be a very important solution that I wish more and more employers would incorporate.
What do you have people ask themselves when they're trying to figure out what's next, Barbara?
Because of the study that's been done and shown that purpose is most important, I do ask them what their priorities are at this stage in their life. But I also use that three-prong approach and asking them, what do you think is the driver at this stage in your life? Is it competencies? Do you just want to use those particular skills? Is it an interest? I worked with a scientist a few years ago, and he decided that he did not want to, he was actually a scientist and an attorney, didn't want to practice law any longer. He wanted to work on behalf of the environment. So that question was really key for him because he could say, well, it's my interest and my value for the environment that's going to be the driver in this next stage.
All right. Jane, I know that there are those out there who say, we need to have people retire because we need to make room for the younger generation, that there are more millennials than there are boomers, and we really shouldn't be encouraging people to stay in the workforce because what's going to happen to our kids? What's your answer to that?
Well, actually, there's a kind of a side piece to this, and Barbara may be able to add to this, I'm sure, through her work. But the biggest percentages of new businesses in Maine have been created by people over the age of 50. So a lot of people are choosing not necessarily, I mean, they're staying in the workforce, but not necessarily with the same employer, and they're choosing to go out on their own, open a new business, start something afresh, maybe employ others within that business. So there's a big trend here towards that direction. And I think that's maybe that's actually a wonderful way to find a solution, because I know there is that, how can we serve both of these populations and all of these different ages? But, you know, when you look at that trend of enormous number of businesses in Maine that are being opened by those 50 and older, it's exciting.
And I would say, while millennials do outnumber boomers now nationwide, they don't in Maine. And so we're still trying to attract millennials. We're trying to figure out ways to incorporate new Mainers into the workforce. Both of those take time, whereas boomers are here now. They want to learn, they're committed, and they want to continue to work, but perhaps not at the same level of stress or number of hours.
I'm looking at an article from CBS News. This is from earlier this year, and it is another confirmation of the Pew study that people expect to continue working. But something that this brings up, 46% of retirees left the workplace earlier than they had planned. Many said they did so because of hardship, such as a health problem or disability.
So I've noticed that people leave the workforce early at times, and unless their health is very poor, they get bored. And research shows they might get bored anywhere from 6 to 18 months after. You know, they clean the garage, they clean their closets, they get a dog, they learn a sport, and they realize, wow, there's not enough structure to my life, and I desire something more purposeful. And that's when they start to return and explore Second Act.
If you'd like to join the conversation, 1-800-399-3566. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking about baby boomers in specific, but really anybody considering a new career. What do you want to know? Please stay with us.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does the Maine Community Foundation. Please do support Maine Calling, a forum for addressing issues affecting Maine people and the world.
On the next Fresh Air, jazz pianist Fred Hirsch. He has a new memoir about what it was like to start his jazz career in the closet and then, nearly 30 years ago, come out as gay and as having HIV. He nearly died 9 years ago and spent several weeks in a medically induced coma. Later, he wrote music inspired by his coma dreams. Join us.
Join us for Fresh Air this evening at 7 o'clock. Season 2 of High School Quiz Show Maine gets underway this fall, our first full season where 16 finalist teams from all around Maine will compete, with the winner then taking on the top regional teams from New Hampshire and Massachusetts. By the end of this month, we're hoping to hear from all the teams that want to take the qualifying exam later this fall, so now is the time to start planning and let us know you'll be part of this year's competition. Information about High School Quiz Show Maine, what's involved, how to form a team, and register for the new season, and also to watch last season's contests, is at mainepublic.org. Just click on television.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, Second Acts, Mid-Career Transitions for Baby Boomers. With me in the studio, Barbara Babkirk, who is a master career counselor and founder of Heart at Work Associates and the Boomer Institute, and Jane Margeson, Director of Communications and Media Relations for AARP in Maine. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll go now to Deborah calling from Freeport. Hi, Deborah. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I Googled Second Acts, and I wanted to ask Barbara a question because she came up as hosting a conference in September called Your Second Act. And is that going to give me some help, some direction in moving forward to what I want to be when I grow up.
Thanks for your question, Deborah. So yes, this conference is actually happening on Saturday, October 14th at UNE, the Portland campus, and it involves a whole series of workshops by area experts that will focus on wellness, work, and lifestyle after 50. And so I invite you to go to the website, yoursecondactmaine.com, and take a look at the schedule. We're having a fabulous keynote speaker, Greg Lavoie, who wrote the book Callings. And it's going to be a very exciting day, and I believe it will give you some tips on your second act.
Deborah, thanks for your call. We'll move on to Jim. Jim, where are you calling from? Hi, Jim. Go ahead. Jim, are you there? Okay, we'll leave that. Darn it. So, Jim, I hope you'll try to call back. I want to ask about the people who are staying in their careers, not because they're looking for a dream job, not because they're trying to satisfy some deep meaning or purpose, but because they feel as though they need to stay in their jobs for financial reasons. Can someone who's 55, 60, 63 just assume their job is going to be there for them if they stay?
Well, they absolutely cannot. They can't assume that if they're 32. I do have quite a few people who come in and I ask them what some of their criteria are, and one of them might be stability. And I say, well, we're going to have to skip over that one because the marketplace is not what it was 25, 30 years ago. So organizations are always continually shifting strategy, and that might mean a layoff. So what I say to people is keep your resume handy, have a fabulous LinkedIn profile, think about what your options are and your skills are, and be prepared.
And I think, too, that's a perfect example of why, in addition to keeping your resume up to date, take a look at some of the things that could enhance your skills. Does your employer offer on-the-job training for something? Maybe matching funds to go back to school part-time, or, you know, other opportunities to learn and kind of enhance what you already have. And I think that can really bolster your confidence and maybe give you some ideas about other things you might like to do should unfortunately, you get laid off. But it's just, I think it just keeps your job a little bit fresher for you as well.
I would just say, too, along those lines, if you are laid off, there is a federal program called WIOA that is administered through the career centers that offers funding for training. So if you're laid off, definitely check in with a career center about funding that's available to you for training.
All right. Well, on the line with us now, Mary Elvin, who worked as a COO for a national healthcare consulting company for 11 years. Mary, thanks for joining us. I understand you left that job.
Yes, I did. After 11, almost 12 years, I realized that life was passing me by and that I had a great many things I wanted to do, but work was always getting in the way. I worked long hours. So I gave a 6-month notice and sought the help of Barbara Babkirk at Hard at Work, and it changed my life completely.
Take us through the process. What did you do? How did you transition from one career to another?
Well, the first thing I did was I took a year off, and I traveled. I started off in Central America in the middle of winter with snorkeling. I used to live overseas. I went to South Africa, where I spent several years and spent weeks visiting friends. When I returned to Maine, I had quality time with family and friends, worked in the garden, got myself healthy in every way. And through that process, I was working with Barbara to identify my skill set, what I had done for most of my career life, and also, what was it that I was really passionate about that I wanted to explore in this final third of my work life? So together, we started to map a plan and I'm now doing volunteer work. I have always had an interest in the medical field, and as Barbara mentioned earlier about pulling the thread, it's something that I've been involved with on the sidelines since I was a young girl, and I'm pursuing that at the moment.
Well, Mary, thanks so much for calling in, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
That was Mary, who has indeed had a second act. We're going to go to Jim again. Jim, are you calling from Vassalboro?
Yes, I'm
calling. Oh, great. You're there. Go ahead.
First off, hi, Barbara.
Hi, Jim.
How are you doing? I guess one of the points that I'd like to raise is that there's certainly a need to for boomers to personally look and grow and try to figure these their next move out. But there's also, I think there's huge economic factor that we're talking about that businesses need to be to really face. And that is, with a labor force in Maine of about 700,000, that's the actual people who are working. As the boomers retire, and they're retiring at an enormous rate, very quick rate at this point in time, there simply are not enough young people in the state of Maine to fill the gap. There's actually something like, in the next 10 years, there could be as many as 100,000 people short in our labor force in the state of Maine. And I think businesses who think they can grow, the first issue is they need to replace these boomers and what they've been doing. And there's not enough people. We need to be looking at the new Maine people, immigrants coming in. We need to look at enticing people to live and work in Maine. But businesses really, I think, have to take a very hard look at how can they encourage boomers to stay? How can they look at flexible work schedules? Can they look at peak season time, alternate mentoring, all kinds of things, just be simply because if you just look at it from the economic point of view, we're in trouble.
Jim, thanks for your call. You know, it's interesting you bring that up because I stumbled across a newspaper article this morning about Nova Scotia looking at the same age demographics we have in not only encouraging baby boomers to work longer, but setting up a department devoted entirely to seniors to help people be able to stay in the workforce because they're facing the same economic demographic crunch.
What a fabulous idea. Forward thinking. You know, 3 years ago, I started to see this increase in boomers who did not want to leave the workforce entirely. They were retiring from primary careers. This is a phenomenon that has never happened before. And so I came up with an idea, and I've trademarked it, the Boomer Institute. It's in beta stage, but it's fully operational, theboomerinstitute.com. That's a matching between employers and experienced, talented boomers who want to find meaningful work at less than full time. So if you're an employer that is interested in exploring and posting some positions, right now there is no cost. And if you're a boomer who wants to put your profile online to see if there might be a match for you, there's no charge at this point for that either. I invite you to do it.
All right, Jim, thanks for your call. We're going to go to David calling from South Berwick. Hi, David. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm one of those people that sorely regret quitting job at 55. I did it because my father died at 58 and never got to retirement. So I'm 70 now, and I wish I stayed at job. Which was cleaning up oil and chemical spills. So I really regret it.
Mm. You know, none of us has a crystal ball, do we? We don't know how long we're going to live. We don't know how long we're going to have our health. And it's really hard to figure out.
It's extremely difficult to figure that out. And I think Barbara and I probably both hear from people who are really struggling with this decision. And there are good reasons to stay in a job, good reasons to think about retiring and spending more time with your family or traveling or, you know, as Mary said, doing some volunteering and sort of finding herself a little bit out in the world. And you're right, Jennifer, we do not have a crystal ball and it's impossible to know. And I'm sorry that there's regret at times when you do choose to leave the workforce, because there can be challenges for going back in. There can be challenges for going back in at the salary you might have been enjoying. But I think, you know, staying part of being involved in your community in a vibrant way, whether you are actually working or Mary mentioned that she's volunteering. We have, as you know, I think a number of, we've now got 40 communities in Maine that are involved in the age-friendly network. Many of them are doing things just like the things that we're talking about. They're looking for ways to engage their older adults, but also the whole family in wonderful ways in their communities. And I'll tell you, those who are driving this effort are absolutely 50, 60, 70 and older, who are really taking that step to make Maine a better place for people of all ages. So, but I do regret that the caller was saying that it was a tough decision, obviously, and sometimes it is health and family that drives it.
Jennifer, you mentioned Encore Careers. That's another term that's used and really was coined by Mark Friedman on the West Coast. And for people who are interested in purposeful work that will assist their communities, as Jane mentioned, you might want to take a look at his book. It's called Encore.
All right. Well, David, thank you and good luck to you. We have an email from Christina. Do you know of any free or inexpensive resources that can help me find what I'm looking for regarding a new career and might help me identify resources to move forward? I used Women, Work, and Community years ago, and they were great, but I've moved and can't find them now.
Women, Work, and Community have changed their name. They are now New Ventures Maine. They are still very vibrant and a very important resource in Maine. They are funded by various sources, so there is no charge for services. And I refer clients to them frequently.
And AARP has a wealth of information, both for the employer and for the employee or prospective employee. We actually have resource centers online. None of this costs a penny, and you don't have to be a member to access any of the materials and resources. But we have everything from job seekers who need help with resumes and cover letters and interviews and job search strategies to employers. We offer tips and tools to help them build an organization that's going to value workers who are 50 and older. And you can just go to aarp.org and there's tons of information and it's very helpful. We hear from people all the time who've used it.
All right, we'll go to Richard calling from Sebago Lake. Hi, Richard. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. Yeah, just a quick story of mine. I took early retirement. I was 64. I did that for the most part because my mom was 93. She and my sister live in New York, and I just could never get down there and wanted to more often. So I started working as a volunteer driver. I happen to work for Community Concepts out of Lewiston. But it's something to keep me busy, and they reimburse you for your mileage. So I'd planned this out. I bought a little Prius, and so I get great mileage, and it actually makes me a little extra money.
Yeah, so sort of quasi-volunteer work, and that's something we really haven't talked about. For those people who do not need to bring in a certain amount of income after the retirement age, there are a lot of meaningful volunteer opportunities out there.
I enjoy this a lot. I drive a wide variety of people. My youngest solo passenger is a little two-year-old girl, and on up.
I think you've done a really great job of combining some practicality and purpose in your life, Richard. Congratulations.
Well, I'm enjoying it, and that's the whole idea, right?
Thank you so much, Richard. We'll go to, is this Jamie in Portland?
Hi, Jennifer. Yes. I'm just calling. I took some classes from, and I really didn't know much about, and still don't know that much about, the SCORE programs that are around the state, and there's one here in Portland. And they have a pretty long list of classes that they have that run the gamut, but I guess I'm just touching base on the startup, how to, I guess there's one called how to move your idea into action, and you know, some scoping classes. So I just, it seems like the teachers in the classes are well versed, and they, I guess you have a mentor program too that I'm thinking about.
Sure, and that's what I'm familiar with. The SCORE is a core of retired professionals who especially will help entrepreneurs who are either trying to start or grow their business. It's great to hear that they also have classes. So we'll try to find out some more information about that and put it on our Maine Calling Facebook page.
And Jane mentioned earlier that 50 plus individuals are the fastest growing group of entrepreneurs in the country. And in Maine, I would highlight three programs. One is SCORE, yes, and Coastal Enterprises, as well as New Ventures Maine. They have a fabulous program, 10 weeks, called Venturing Forth, that helps entrepreneurs bring concept to business plan. Fabulous program.
And there's the Small Business Administration. The AARP has partnered with them for a number of years. And the Maine Senior College has wonderful programs, too. And there are even opportunities for teaching there. And the University of Maine Cooperative Extension has excellent programs as well, covering a number of different topics and services. So those are all good resources. If you're just trying to test something, you don't want to spend a lot of money to do your research, there's some great, great resources in Maine.
All right. Well, we do need to take another short break. But first, a look ahead at tomorrow's program in conjunction with the screening of Ken Burns' new documentary on Maine Public Television. Maine Calling will turn its attention to the Vietnam War. We have retired Maine National Guard General Bill Libby and journalist Philip Caputo will join us. Email your questions or comments to talk@mainepublic.org. Tweet us or post to our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Evergreen Home Performance, offering energy-efficient windows and insulation to help homeowners achieve year-round comfort. More at evergreenyourhome.com. And Maine Narrow Gauge Railroad in Portland, inviting you to learn more about their events as well as the benefits of becoming a member at mainenarrowgauge.org.
The haves and the have-nots see an even starker divide in Florida after Hurricane Irma.
Naples usually gets everything first, and then I guess we get the hand-me-downs from them.
I'm Kelly McEvers, also President Trump's first visit to the state after the storm this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
And All Things Considered from 4 to 6:30 each weekday evening. And join us at 2 o'clock following Maine Calling for Speaking in Maine. We'll head to Portland for an address by Will Picard, Executive Director of the Yemen Peace Project, for a talk on Yemen's humanitarian catastrophe and U.S. foreign policy. That's Speaking in Maine coming up after Maine Calling here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, Second Careers for Baby Boomers. Joining me today, Barbara Babkirk, who is a master career counselor and founder of Heart for Work Associates and the Boomer Institute. Also here, Jane Margeson, Director of Communications and Media Relations for AARP in Maine. Join our conversation, 1-800-399-3566. Heidi on Facebook asks, what is the status of the Pell Grant system that would allow a person who already has a degree to be able to go back to an institution of higher education to earn multiple degrees in order for them to do the career of their dreams? Do we know? No, I'm sorry. We don't have the answer here, Heidi. Maybe somebody in the audience knows the answer and can post an answer on our Facebook page. We'll go to Tony calling from Old Town. Hi, Tony. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm 63 years old. I've been in the country for about 36 years. I'm a naturalized citizen. And I worked in the aviation industry as an aircraft mechanic. And I applied in various places, including at CNL Aviation at Bangor International. And they rejected me due to my age, primarily. Meanwhile, I happen to be a father at this late age. And I have a 7-year-old and 9-year-old now. They've been snatched away from me, primarily by the authorities, for no reason at all. And I'm trying now for almost 3 years. It will be 3 years next month, October. And they give me the runaround. You know, I have the power and the health to be a second time a parent again. I was stay-at-home dad before, you know, with my those two kids, and I expect to do that again. And now they're stealing 3 precious years out of the lives of the kids to be with their father.
Tony, I'm so sorry to hear your story. I don't think our guests here today are prepared to talk about the, you know, child services, but we can talk about the first part, saying that you've been denied jobs because of your age. Is there ageism in the workplace still?
I believe there certainly is ageism. People don't want to admit that. And I also believe that most people, particularly baby boomers, do not understand how to present themselves and their skills. They're not used to doing it. Many of us haven't done it for many, many years, and the criteria have changed. So I think it's really important to make sure that your credentials are up to date, including LinkedIn and resume, and you know how to write an appropriate cover letter. As Jane mentioned, AARP has resources online. Of course, you can always go to a career counselor, but if that's not an option, there are plenty of options out there so that you can find out how to best present yourself.
Tony, thanks for your call and good luck to you. We're going to go to Natasha calling from South Portland. Hi, Natasha. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I want to bring up the question of meaning versus money. I have a similar story to the one that was told by the caller who worked with Barbara. I was let go from a job that I was with for 9 years. I was working 30 hours a week, and I was the last senior technical writer standing in the U.S. Now all the jobs are in India. And I didn't have the guts to quit, but I was actually quite happy when they let me go. I have spent the entire year since January finding myself, quote unquote, and it's been a wonderful process. Now I want to do something meaningful. The things that I have come up with that I deem meaningful are not things that are probably going to pay me. So for me, it feels like a huge trade-off and a sort of selling of my soul, let's say.
Natasha, I would say two things to you about that. One is that be really careful about the assumptions you make. I have conversations with people every day, and they're making up stories that aren't really true that limit their options, and it's all happening in their mind. So that's one thing. The second thing is you were laid off. So that perhaps is a fact that makes you eligible for WIOA monies that could be used for retraining, depending on what you are thinking of. But you might want to explore that with the Career Center in your area, WIOA.
Barbara, when you talk about people telling themselves stories, what do you mean by that?
So a lot of people, first of all, in the time of transition, people are afraid. It's only natural. We don't know what's next, and so we start trying to fill in the blanks. We fill in the blanks with information like, oh, I don't have the skills. Oh, what I'm thinking of won't pay me enough money. Things like that. And they are, in many cases, not true at all. So what's really important is to focus more on the what. What is it I want to do? What are the skills that I have to bring to the table? And then to test that out in the marketplace before applying for jobs by having what we call strategic conversations so that you can find out accurate current information about next steps.
All right. Well, good luck to you, Natasha. We're going to go to Elizabeth calling from Western Maine. Hi, Elizabeth. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm 66 and went away to college for 5 semesters thinking I wanted to be a phys ed teacher, and then I became a ski bum for 3 years working at a resort, and I said, what can I do that would allow me to continue to ski and still have a job available? And I went into nursing, and at 50, and I worked at a hospital in all departments, at 50, I wanted to become a massage therapist, so I went to massage school, and I still worked part-time. And I just think that it's really important for people to look at careers that are varied. I've been in school nurse, a camp nurse, a private nurse, and I've worked for a chiropractor as a massage therapist and private patient clients. And I just feel like to look for a career that is so versatile and you can go anywhere, anywhere, and get a job.
Good job, Elizabeth. You've done a, you know, I think you've approached the marketplace and career in a very creative way.
Yeah, and I've also simplified my life. Mm. I'm off the grid. I live a very simple life, and I pretty much can do what I want. And I love to clean, so I've taken part-time jobs doing that, and I just feel very, very fortunate.
Mm. Mm. And it sounds like you're using a wide variety of skills and resources that you have just within your own heart, you know, to do these things. I think that's very encouraging.
Thank you, Elizabeth, for calling in and sharing your story. We have an email from Paul. Do older workers use more health care, or is it set off by younger workers' maternity benefits? I think we're looking at employers' point of view. A reason employer might not want to hire somebody who's older is the belief that they may cost them more money.
I think there is sometimes an assumption that may be the case. And maybe this is getting to Barbara's, you know, making up stories. I mean, I think I'm sure that there are workers who are going to have some health issues that are going to be higher than somebody else. And there are going to be maternity leave issues. There are going to be a variety of things that may come along. And I think you have to look maybe at the broader picture of your entire workforce and managing that, not just one person at a time and their age and making assumptions about what their health costs are going to be.
And I think from the individual standpoint, you have to position yourself in the most competitive way possible. So that might override any health concerns that the employer might have.
All right. We'll go to Greg, who's calling from Rockland. Hi, Greg. Go ahead.
Hi, and thank you, Barbara. I want to say two things. One, I want to talk about kind of a little bit about our past. I have a 23-year-old son. And his mom and I have tried to model and remind him that he needs to remain flexible in today's job market, to not believe that he's going to be in one job for his career, because we don't have those. And so I changed careers, went into graduate school in my late 30s, and started working in mental health, and then took a break from that and wrote two books on wild mushrooms, and then went back into mental health, and staying fresh in my work is what's important to me. And his mother has done the same thing, going back from nursing to a master's in sustainable design. She finished at age 58. I'm 62 now, and we both look forward to being more flexible in our careers, and one of the major impediments we see is the need for one of us to maintain a job that has health care coverage.
Greg, thanks so much for your call. I'm going to follow it up with an email I have here from Teresa. She writes, I'm a baby boomer living below the poverty level. I was a National Park Service Ranger for 6 seasons, followed by a successful 15-year career as a city planner. I have 2 college degrees and a graduate degree. I left work in the early 2000s to stay home with children. In 2008, I started to actively look to re-enter the workforce. After 8 years and 64 job applications, I'm still fully unemployed and very sad. Employers who have interviewed me told me that my resume and cover letters are excellent. My interviews were excellent. Inevitably, they hired the less expensive, less experienced person. I want to work. I want to work full time. I think I do not have a job because of age discrimination. Are there programs to help a person find a job that do not cost any money, besides Job Bank, which serves people who are not professional?
I would recommend New Ventures Maine. You can go to their website, newventuresmaine.org, and you can meet with, they have support groups there and career counselors. I believe they're in every state, so in every county. So that's a one-on-one approach, which I think would be very useful to you at this point to help you sort out what's really going on, because it doesn't really add up what you're saying. I'm not saying you're making it up, but there's something there that's off, and I think someone from New Ventures Maine might be able to help you identify what that is.
All right. Thank you, and good luck to you. We have just a smidgen of time. We'll go to David, who's calling from Wells, I think. There we go. David, go ahead.
Thanks, Jennifer. Thanks for your help in the past, Barbara. I just wanted to add as a resource the Maine Community College system. Throughout the state, the community colleges have all kinds of technical programs for people to start new careers. This would be especially helpful for people that have not been to college yet. Pell Grants are available for first-time college goers and people without degrees. And list that with your other resources.
David, thank you for your call. You're going to be our last word here today as we're out of time. And thank you to our guests here, Barbara Babkirk, founder of the Maine job counseling firm Heart at Work Associates and the job matching service, the Boomer Institute. Jane Margeson is director of communications and media relations for AARP. Roddy Nickpour ran the board today. We had production help from John Keimel. Owen Manahan answered your calls. You can find past editions of Maine Calling, as well as this program, forever at mainecalling.org. Again, that's mainecalling.org. Today's show will be broadcast again tonight at 8. We're produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks, and you've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.